Bless the Lord tonight because I get to, and I'm thankful. Welcome to everyone that's viewing tonight. This is the hour of the Lord. This is a moment God has called blessed. And this is the greatest season of your life. I have said that for a long time, and it has proven itself to be alive and be real on the inside of me. God determines our steps before we take them. And how easy is it to walk in the way of the Lord? How easy is it to be that new creation? There is no effort to it. There is no effort. The Word said it's not by works. Jesus took the effort out of being right by believing right. He took the effort out of gaining victory by not fighting well, but believing well. Remembering well, that seed of God that is on the inside of you, you can't forget, because the greatest part of who you are is the memory of who God intended and called you to be. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. I want to talk to you tonight about something that's going to transform your life. I'm speaking a word prophetically to you. And so, Father, we thank you for the greatness and the intensity and yet the enlightenment and lightness of your word. It's such a heavy word, such a weighty word, but so light to bear. And as a matter of fact, we don't carry your word, but your word carries us. And Father, I thank you for everyone that's viewing tonight. I pray for an open heart to receive. I pray for fertile soil to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. And God, that in all that we say and all that we do, you are glorified. Father, we know you hear us because of your faithfulness. And we thank you that when we get to pray and believe for what we can't see, but yet we know. You're God with us. God in us, God through us. And you've ordered this day to be perfect in you. And God, we thank and praise you in your mighty name. In Ephesians 1, chapter 11, I just want to take a scripture that I've taught for a long time and break it down because it's been such a transforming revelation in my life. And Ephesians 1 and verse 11, it says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined," or being predestined "according to the purpose of him who worketh all things in accordance with the counsel of his will." And the bottom line is this just says to me, you can't miss. You can't miss. The struggle in life isn't because there's so much evil in the world. Struggle in life is because there's so much doubt in the world. Jesus made it very clear. I mean, Peter walks out of a boat, and because Jesus said, "Come, just believe," he walks on water. A woman comes and says, "My daughter's dying, and they're sick." And Jesus says, "You are not in the position, based on your people or your tribe or your faith, to believe, to ask for this." He said, so he says, "It's not meant to give the children's bread to the dogs." And she says, "Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And Jesus did what was in his heart to do, because it's who he is. He said, "According to your faith, be it unto you." What God's asking us to do, what God's showing us to do, is the best life, the best life of righteousness, the most holy and righteous life you're going to live, is when you're not trying at all. It's when you're believing it all. It's not when we're putting our best foot forward just to step and trip over our own shoelaces and get up and say, "That was my best foot forward." God doesn't, he never asked you for your best foot. He said Jesus' feet were nailed so you could walk in the way that was right before you. He said he opened a door. We have to keep in mind the effort that someday, one day, and God give you the insight and give us the wisdom to see it today. Someday you're going to look and say, it could have been so easy. Could have been so easy. This is that day. This is that someday. That someday is today. This is that someday. This is that day of blessing. This is that day of prophecy. This is that day you've been waiting for. This is that open door. This is that we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works everything according to the counsel of His own will. I want you to say tonight right here, I'm going to live and I'm going to enjoy my life. More than that, I'm going to be exceedingly, abundantly, and joyfully empowered to live in it. And there's no weapon that could be formed that could possibly penetrate me, could prosper against me, could affect me. Why the word says no weapon formed. I mean, what does that mean, literally? Well, it means we can dodge well, or if we keep our guard up, or, you know, good left or right hook. Or no, it means no, there isn't a weapon formed. There isn't anything that can be created that can work against the will of the Father that was already destined in you before you could make a mistake, before you could be triggered and do something you shouldn't do, before you could doubt God. That purpose, that predestined will of God is so profound in your life. Paul says this. He said, we're reading out of Romans 12, verse 1. And he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God. Now, Paul is literally making an appeal because Paul has seen an open door where he says, this is the thing I've done. He said, I don't claim to have obtained perfection by my actions or my deeds, but he said, I do pursue it. He said, I am in pursuant to obtain it. And then he says, this one thing I do, he said, I'm forgetting what is behind me. Anything that has been delegated by the flesh or doubt or fear, the bottom line is failure is not a part of your design. It is a disformity or deformity for people to fail. You can stumble, you can fall, but you cannot fail. And I often feel like if I've stumbled or if I've fallen, I'm in the most powerful position I can be in because I'm on my knees and I'm going to worship and call upon the name of the Lord. But Paul has a revelation that gave him such authority and such power to write the gospel that we read today that transforms our lives. And think about this. Think about the revelation in Paul. God saw through Paul's faith. God saw through Adam's faith. And it has to be that way. That's why Jesus said to the woman, he was provoking her faith. Now, what can I do to provoke your faith? Because I need you to speak a word of faith. I need you. I want you to see how powerful your faith is in me. And if you believe in me, nothing, absolutely nothing, will be impossible to you. In a sense, it was illegal for her to ask what she was asking for. But Christ went beyond the boundaries of a legal system. Remember, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But you're of the perfect order of God's creation. Those are two totally different things. And Jesus was saying, I want you to know what faith feels like. I want you to know what it feels like to see the impossible happen because it comes out of your mouth. And I want to address you as faith. And that's what Jesus said. And he said, according to your faith be it unto you. And in that moment, the power of God was manifest. Remember when the centurion came to Jesus? Well, I don't remember, but I remember reading about it. When the centurion came to Jesus and he said, my servant, my friend is ill, he's sick, he's paralyzed, he's dying, he can't do. And Jesus said, I'll come. Now, again, Jesus knew that he could speak a word. He knew he could walk on water. He knew he could call the dead to life. But he says to the man, he said, I will go. And the man says, this is of urgency, but this is what was so profound in the man. Even though he came to ask for healing for his servant, he didn't make it about himself. He made it all about the Lord. He said, I'm not worthy. This is not about me. This is not about my really about my need. It's not about my worthiness. It's not about feeling like, well, you came to my house, so now I'm worthy. He says, this is all about you. This is all about the word that is in your mouth, and that's the point. It's all about the word that is in your mouth. And Jesus looked at him, and the word says, Jesus said, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. And what was it? I mean, what was so great about what this man did? He didn't think about himself. All he could see was Christ. Same thing that the woman did. I just see you, and I have faith in you. I have faith in your word. The man said, listen, I'm a man of authority and a man of power, and I can say to do this, and then my servant does it, and I also know how to take orders. But this isn't about me. I'm unworthy. This is about you. Not just my house isn't clean. He literally was saying, all the authority, all the power that I could wield, I'm a man of authority. I know the power of authority, and you're it. I'm not. You're it. You have to renounce what you're not able to do and announce what he is and what he is able to do. And Paul said, I appeal to you, therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your worship. And that's what this man did. He presented himself as a sacrifice. I'm unworthy, but I'm making a sacrifice. I'm bringing myself, and I'm saying, you speak the word only. I'm justified. My servant is healed, and we don't have to wait a moment of time. And the word says that Jesus healed him. And then Paul says this. He says, don't be conformed or confounded, or I state, don't be conned into a form, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How would God show us a different world if he just keeps presenting to us the world as it is supposed to be? How can we believe for a transformation if we can't see the deformation and call it blessed? If we can't see where the need is and we speak in contradiction to the need by declaring the perfect will, as we just read, we are inheritors of the perfect will of God. I mean, I'm not trying to get the perfect will of God. I'm not going to find the will of God. I can't get away from the will of God. I can't get away from the perfect will of God. And God assigned me in a perfect world, but he assigned me a world like he assigned to Adam and Eve. He said, you have to take dominion over it in order to see the glory of its perfection, because you have to do it through me. Paul said this. He said, I don't claim to be anything, but what I do claim to be is I am his own. I am not mine. I am his. And through him I'm seen, is what Paul was saying. And through him I'm believing, so I can present myself as a living sacrifice. No condemnation. I mean, the world today is so unadjusted. And by the world, I'm talking about perception. The world God created, the earth God created, is perfect in all of its ways. But the world we are not a part of is the system of denial. Denying what? Denying that we are a body, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And our reasonable worship, our service, our mind is renewed when we take on the attitude, I don't belong to me. This isn't about me. This is about you. Sometimes your business will, there are times your business or your church will never go where it's supposed to go as long as you're trying to get it to go there. You'll never have the success that you even know you're supposed to have as long as you're trying to be successful. You can't get healed when you're trying to get healed. And Jesus said it like this. He said, why don't you pray for somebody else? Forget about you. Pray for one another, forget that you need healing, so you can be healed. Because the healing power of God, the blessing of your business, the blessing of your ministry, the blessing of your house. Listen, you were not anointed to argue salvation into your house. You weren't anointed to argue anyone into being born again. We weren't called to wrestle in this world. We were called to rest in this world. The seventh day, God spoke something, and he commanded it for all the earth. And he called it the Sabbath day, a day of rest. The word says God created everything that he had made, and he said, in the word says, in that day, he blessed it and he rested. What does that mean? It's done. It is perfect. It is complete. From the very first day of Adam and Eve to present day, same world, same dynamics, same God, same purpose, same Lord in all, through all, and back to him all. The difference is we are assigned. This is the difference we have to see. Our day, our season isn't, wow, it's never been this bad before. It's never been this good before. It's never been, there's never been this opened, this door, a door this widely opened before. This is the faith of the woman. This is the faith of Elijah. This is the faith of Paul. This is the faith of the blind man, Bartimaeus. It's never been this day before. It's never been this way. We are here to contradict the world and declare the earth God has made. We are here to contradict every lie and every unbelief, but not by speaking against it, by speaking the word of truth. God created the world not by talking about what he didn't want, but talking about what he did want. Jesus didn't save us by coming in, and he said, I didn't come in to judge you. I didn't come in to condemn you. I didn't come in to speak about your sin. I came to deliver what God created from the beginning. He said, what I've seen the Father do, that's what I'm doing. I'm revamping, I'm reshaping your mind to the beginning creation. I am the second Adam. I am the last Adam. There won't be another. You are that creation. Paul said, I'm not my own, I'm his own. I belong to him, and that's how I'm seeing my life. God spoke to Abraham because God wanted to look through Abraham because God made Abraham his own. God made Abraham his own seed. God created Abraham to see through the eyes of God, and God created Abraham so God could look through the eyes of Abraham's faith. God's doing the same thing today. This world couldn't be any better. We couldn't have a better setup. We couldn't serve a better God. This couldn't be a better time. You cannot have more inheritance. You don't need God to do any more. We don't need God to turn things around. We need to believe the turning around of God is in the word of our faith. It's in the word of our mouth. We need to call the earth blessed. God showed Moses, if you walk up to this sea, and if you just command an opening in a sea, I'll make a way where there just isn't, there's no way in the sea. And if I do open it, you're going to sink in the mud. But if you'll declare that this is the way, God said, look at the sea. He said, point your staff, raise your staff over it, and declare what I've said to you. I'm making a way, and God made a way. Listen, we don't serve a different God because it's a different time. God doesn't age. His mind doesn't age. The times don't change. We are the change of time. Seasons are created by the will of God so we can say it's time. It's time to plant. It's time to sow. It's time to harvest. He said, when you see perplexity of nations, he said, prophesy, declare. In the latter days, says God, you know what your call is going to be? You know what your anointing is going to be? You're going to prophesy. That's what we are about today. That's who we are. We are a prophetic generation. We wear these little wristbands all the time that say, pulling on heaven. It's in here somewhere. Pulling on heaven 24/7. And we say it's who we are. It's what we do. We are so connected because we are inheritors of the goodness of the Lord. You have inherited health in your body. You don't need healed. You need health. You need to inherit the mind of I am healthy. Some of you are so afraid of getting sick. You're not sick. Don't believe into sickness. Believe into health. Don't believe into COVID. Believe into strength. Oh, what if I get it? Well, what if you don't? Either way, the Lord God is with you. The Lord God will strengthen you. God said, what if you guys don't get thrown in the furnace? But what if you do? What if you do? The outcome is the same. We'll not be slow to answer you and say, I'm afraid, I'm concerned, I'm worried. And we're not just talking faith talk. We're talking about living by the word of God, which is the faith of the Son of God by which we live. What if only good happens to me? That was the 23rd Psalm. The Lord, he is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is. And the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me. He drives me to lie down in flourished green pastures. He leads me. He takes me by the hand and he leads me beside quieted waters. No conflict, no warring. Yeah, but you don't understand. No, you don't understand. You understand what's going on around you, and that's why you can't get it to end. But I know the word of the Lord. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness because of who he is, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of COVID, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they are the comfort to me. The rod and the staff were correction. They were direction. It wasn't a staff of blessing in the sense that good sheep, good goat, it pulled, it wrapped it around the sheep's neck and pull it in the direction. That's what David's saying. You pull me in the direction I am to go. That's why I keep saying God will lead your steps. He's orchestrated you. You're blessed. All God wants you to do is with your whole heart present your body a living sacrifice, holy and completely. Man, I'm ready to walk in the fervent blessing of the living God. My mind is so surrounded and filled with peace. Everybody loves me. Everybody blesses me. Everybody's going to speak well. Not speaking well of you when you're doing evil, but in other words, I'm seeing the blessing of the Lord. I am a light to the world. That's what Jesus said. I want you to be a light to the world. People will call you blessed, he said. They will call you chosen of God. They will look up and they will say, we see the light of God. The nations, kings of the earth, will call you blessed. You can't give something away that you don't own. You can't testify to someone you're not. It is the word of prophecy. It is the word of the Lord. It is a presentation of myself, a living sacrifice. And the word says when you do that, it said, then you're not conformed to this world, but you will be transformed by the rebirth of your mind that you will test, that you may prove and discern. Prove and discern. Prove and discern what? What is the good, perfect, acceptable will of God? When I speak these words, I am discerning. What I am discerning, am I discerning? I am discerning the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. As a matter of fact, all I know how to do is discern the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. When God has given you a spirit of discernment, you're not discerning evil. You're discerning the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. When you're discerning right, wrong isn't a question. Wrong isn't an option. When you're walking in the light, darkness is nowhere present. You are anointed to declare the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. Again, stay in your anointing. God anointed me to preach the gospel, so I stay in my anointing. God didn't tell me, I want you to go out and see if you can build the biggest crowd, if you can build the biggest church, if you can build the biggest name. As a matter of fact, one of the biggest days of my life is when God said, I want you to stop trying to build anything, and all I want you to do is rest. I want you to enter into the Sabbath, the seventh day, and say it is finished, and declare the goodness of the Lord. I want you to declare the year of the Lord's favor. I want you to call to the spirits of my people and remind that seed that I put on the inside of them how blessed they are, how perfect a world they live in, how incredible this day is, that this is a day I have made. It didn't show up, I created it. Declare the blessing of the Lord. Raise up my name. Declare my name. Declare the blessing of the Lord. Speak the blessing of God. And the moment we began to do that, everything changed. Everything began to transform, and the goodness of the Lord turned everything around. It didn't mean that everything around me changed. It meant everything within me changed. And when everything within me changed and everything within you changes, you take dominion over everything around you. God spoke to Adam and Eve, and he said, I want you to, you can have every tree in the garden, everything. Now imagine God saying to one man, I want you to take dominion over the entire earth. I mean, that could have been a really good day, or that could have been a really bad day. I mean, take dominion over the entire earth. You want me to name every creature on the planet. But Adam knew nothing but the innocence that he was created in And that innocence was the righteousness of God. Nothing was a big deal to him. Not anything. And so what did he do? Exactly what God said. He did the impossible. Every animal that came, Adam knew who they were. He had the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that you may prove the good. That's what God, this isn't a new word. This isn't a word Paul came up with. This is a word God spoke to Adam. You will know the mind of God. You'll be able to prove the good, perfect, acceptable will of God. All I want you to do, and that's what Adam did at that time. He was a perfect offering before the Lord. Not thinking about himself. Not thinking about what he did or didn't have. Without clothing, and yet as clothed in the righteousness of God, that no shame could shine through. He knew he obeyed God. He knew he believed God. It wasn't considering what is possible or what is impossible. We're in an incredible, this is the greatest season of our lives, because we get to show that in what seems to have turned out to be an impossible world, God is going to bear the fruit of his perfect, acceptable will, and we are the witnesses to testify about it. There's never been a season like this. There's never been a time. We're living in the day of the Garden of Eden. We're living in the day of the creation of God. We're living in the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And the word of the Lord is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't bear witness to what it looks like is impossible. Bear witness to the word of God. God told Adam, name every animal. Adam says, okay. And God says, whatever he called that animal, that was actually the name I had given it. But I wanted Adam to say it. I wanted him to take dominion over the world. I wanted him to let his ear hear his mouth say, you're an elephant, you're a giraffe. I wanted him to know what it felt like for me to live and breathe and speak through him. And that's what God is saying today. That's what prophecy is all about. In the last days, says God, they will know what it feels like. They will know what it lives like. They will know what it is for me to breathe through them, for me to speak through them. You won't have to give any thought if you're brought before the counselors of evil. I'll put the word in your mouth. And God said, and they will not be able to gainsay against you. They'll not be able to overcome you. You show up, you open your mouth, and the Lord will bless the ground you stand on. You show up, you open your mouth without contradicting yourself, and God will show you his word is sure. His word is proven. His word is yes. His word is in him. Amen. You have nothing to fear. This is the greatest season. You should be excited. I pray God would pour out a spirit of excitement and anticipation on you tonight. I pray that you will see, if you've ever had a day you felt like was Christmas, if you ever had a day you felt like was celebration, if you ever had a day that you said, this really is the best day of my life, anticipate that day, because that's the way it really is. It's not the world God created that made things tough. This world, this earth God created is blessed of the Lord. So anointed. It is doubt and unbelief from the genesis of time that has thwarted your perception, disturbed the perspective of your mind. And the word says that we wrestle and we fight our doubt. We're like a wave of the sea tossed to and fro. Make it simple and make it plain. The kingdom of God is like a child. Adam, child, name every animal in the earth, okay? I'll name every animal in the earth. And he does. God's saying to you, bless your house. Bless your family. Bless your husbands and your children. And you just bless them. God, but bless them. Stop trying to talk them in to the will of God. You can't do it. The will of God will talk them in to the righteousness he has made them to be. Just be a witness. You can't give away something you don't own. You can't bear witness to something you're not. Believe the word of the Lord and you will be established. You will be increased. Believe the word of the prophet, and God will establish your steps. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And know this is the season of the Lord. Prophecy is the word of God. Prophecy is a memory from God that says, this is the way I intended it to be. God didn't rearrange and reorchestrate. Christ wasn't a second thought. It wasn't like God said, oh man, my people they've sinned. What am I going to do? Jesus, you want to? The word says, before the foundation of the world, do you know how perfect this earth is because of the perfect God we serve? He is perfect. My God, he's so perfect in all his ways. The word of the Lord is so pure. It's like silver tried in a vessel of earth seven times refined. Only good will happen to you. Only good will happen to you. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This is the greatest season of my life. This is the hour of the Lord. I've been ordained to contradict wrong and prophesy right. And it's not an effort. It's a revelation. It's the revelation of who Jesus is and who He is in me. This is the greatest season of your life. Father, I thank You that You open the hearts and the minds of Your people to hear what the Spirit of God has to say to Your body, to Your people. This is an unusual time because of Your word of revelation. We're not still. We're not quiet. You've opened the door. It's not a season where the word of prophecy was few or far away or unheard. This is an hour of prophecy. This is a time of the word of the Lord. I mean, the word of the Lord is precious, but it's not sparingly so. It's abundantly so. This is an open door of influence and insight and recognition where You said the nations and the kings of the earth would call us blessed of the Lord. Speak blessing over not the business, not over your business, not over your churches, but over your sacrifice, your presentation, your worship. So God, through you, proves the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. That blesses your church, your home, your family, and your businesses. So no one can say no, because God has said yes. And this is the greatest season of your life. And Father, we give You praise. In Jesus' glorious name. You should feel excited. I know you do. I know there's hope. I know you can see it. It's not just hope in something coming. Hope is coming out of you. You can't get away from it. This is the hour unlike any other. This is the hour of the Lord's favor. The altar is open. I'd encourage you to sow a seed in the soil of this word. Your support means a great deal to us. And Donna and myself and the PFC family, we thank you for your love. Thank you for being a part of this word, this season. It's just such a dynamic, transforming season of time. We're really going to see the blessing of the Lord in a way we have never even realized. And God's using you as the vessel. He's making us the sound in the earth. He's making us the season and the time. Honor the Lord. Honor His word. And God's word will honor you. Remember, this is the greatest season of your life. Go out with a prophetic shout.